We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hey everybody, welcome to the RotoWire Fantasy Baseball Podcast, brought to you by Rival Fantasy. Jeff Erickson here with Fred Zinke, and we're going to have a lot of debuts to discuss. A lot of news and a lot of injuries and some more prospects to take a look at here. All coming up. Welcome, everybody, to the RotoWire Fantasy Baseball Podcast. Jeff Erickson here with Fred Zinke, and we got a lot to discuss today. We had some smashing debuts, Royce Lewis in particular, Bobby Miller with his second start, a really good one as well. In relief, Ben Joyce had a smashing debut as well. So we're going to kind of hit those up periodically throughout the podcast. Fred, what's going on? How are you?
I'm good. My Blue Jays are getting back on track after a tough time in the AL East. So I'm not seeing the playoffs for them as much of a certainty as I used to. But that's actually making the regular season maybe more interesting.
Well, yeah, as I believe it was Todd Zola or Scott Genstead pointed out on Sunday, if you look at the AL East and the AL Central and like in sequential order, they also go 1-10 in terms of record. So just shows how hard the AL East has been so far. That said, that Toronto is now tied with Minnesota in terms of one loss record. But point is, it's not easy. And, you know, they had a stretch where they're playing a lot of AL East teams and they did not fare so well in that stretch. So perhaps just getting out of their own division, playing fewer games against the division is going to be something that's helpful for them this year.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, if they don't make it, they'll probably look back and say that it was their record within the division that cost them. A lot of it, though, with the schedule being more balanced, will probably come down to which AL East teams can really dominate the rest of the league.
Yeah, exactly. And so, you know, the Rays have passed that test so far. The Orioles have passed that test so far. Orioles, I mean, hey, they fared well against the Jays and Yankees last week. So they're to, you know, I keep looking at that rotation. I'm like, how are they there? You know, I'm so unimpressed with what they did. Grayson Rodriguez is someone who has got failed in his first trial, has got sent back down. They're getting by with some pretty shaky starting pitching, at least in name. But then you look at their win-loss record, you realize their bullpen's been amazing, and you know their hitters have been pretty solid. Let's start with the Orioles, though, because Cedric Mullins is on the IL for them now with an adductor strain. He may be out a while. That's the type of injury that usually is not a 10 to 15-day thing.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, he's still a must-keep in every fantasy league for sure. You know, maybe 10 team points leagues, I guess he'd be a cut. But anyways, this will test them a little bit. They signed Aaron Hicks today. I don't think that's going to be much help for them. Ryan McKenna will probably have to play a little bit more. Adam Frazier is hitting leadoff tonight. So this could be. So Adam Frazier has been like a sneaky good fantasy asset so far this year. I have him in a couple leagues. I don't know if I expect this to continue, but he's got off the top of my head, he's got 6 homers and 6 steals. That's pretty good, like a little over a third of the way through the schedule. Like that's, you know, say roughly a 15-15 pace. So if he hits leadoff and plays every day, Mullins is out, you know, he could be someone who now all of a sudden becomes like maybe not a total set and forget, but like pretty close in 12 team leagues.
Yeah, maybe so. And if, you know, the thing is like keep waiting for like Jordan Westberg to get the call or couple of the other infield prospects, but it might be at the expense of Jorge Mateo instead of Frazier. Mateo, after a great start, you know, good enough to encourage Joe Sheehan to trade him to me, has really tanked lately. He's hitting 227. He's got the 6 homers, and I think a lot of those were early. 15 stolen bases. Some of those have come later. But point being is, if you look at, like, you know, last 21 days, 0.93 with a 138 on base and a 0.93 slug. So he's really been lost up there.
Yeah, you know, a 285 OPS in May. Pretty sad. It's amazing how much these players, you know, they go up and down and up and down, but they so often, especially if they're not like really young or really old or whatever, but it's amazing how much they do end up just eventually steering back towards their level, you know, water finds level kind of thing, as Todd Zola would say. 661 OPS now this year. It's pretty close to the 646 last year and the 670 the year before that. So it just came in fits and spurts. But I admitted a couple of weeks into the season that I had some Mateo regret that I passed him over in the late rounds of drafts. Mm-hmm. He still would have been, with what you've got from him so far, if someone drafted him, used him up to this point, and maybe was now backing off of him, you got 6 homers and 15 steals in about a third of the season. So it still would have been worth the 23rd round pick or something that it took to get him. But yeah, I don't know how long he'll keep an everyday job, but the injury to Mullins takes Frazier maybe, well, Frazier's still playing second base tonight, so I was going to say maybe it puts Frazier a little more often in the outfield, but it isn't tonight. He's still playing second base, so I don't know. Maybe it doesn't. Maybe the infield doesn't get too jammed up. Maybe Mateo keeps playing, but still just stays permanently batting ninth. If he's not hitting for average, he's going to have to steal a lot of bases to be viable.
Yeah. Tonight, Aaron Hicks is playing. I mean, Austin Hayes. Aaron Hicks signed with the team. Right. Austin Hayes is playing center field. Taron Vavra is in left field, and Santander remains in right. But you can see, like, they're moving people around. Gunnar Henderson, who's a really good defender, is playing DH. The Orioles are weird.
Yeah, I mean, they must have a plan to, you know, it's his turn to DH, mm-hmm. right, tonight. So they're going to rotate it around. Ramon Urias is at third tonight. Yeah. We'll see where it all shakes out. But yeah, if Mateo keeps hitting this poorly, they certainly do have prospects. And on the pitching side, I keep waiting for them to bring up DL Hall. But so far, they haven't really needed to. They've got Austin Voth in the rotation right now, which isn't very inspiring, although he's kind of had his moments. I don't know. I'm interested to see when they bring up Hall. I feel like that could happen sooner rather than later.
Yeah, and I'm trying to look. I'm looking up right now to see what Hall has been doing lately. I know he got, you know, the thing is, he was up with the big club a couple of times once this year, and he pitched in 11 games last year, and they haven't used him as a starter there. But in the minors, he started, but he's only thrown 32 innings in 8 starts, which is kind of weird. Yep. But and he hasn't been good either. 5.06 ERA.
Yeah, lots of strikeouts, poor control.
Yeah. So I don't know what to make of DL Hall. I wouldn't write him off because it's hard to find guys that can miss bats like that. But at the same time, he's also missing the strike zone. And if he's missing it at AAA, you got to figure that's going to be exacerbated at the big league level.
Yeah, that's true. At the same time, just to use a really relevant topic today, Bobby Miller's AAA stats this year weren't very good. His minor league stats last year were just okay. Strikeout rate's good, but last year with the rest of it, meh.
Fair.
Yeah, so, I mean, and then he's had a couple of really good starts for the Dodgers since coming up. So, you know, if the pitcher's skilled, maybe we have to take the minor league numbers a little bit with a grain of salt. But I do agree with you that maybe Hall's not ready to. Well, if Hall came up, he would get picked up in every league. I do agree with you, though, that I'm not really sure if he's, you know, ready to help fantasy teams or not. You pick him up, he'd be a pick him up and put him on your bench kind of guy at the beginning.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah,
that's right. Atlanta may have. They found the next Spencer Strider. They called up AJ Smith-Shawver, and this happened right before the podcast, and I gave you no time to prep for him, but he's James Anderson's number 31 prospect, 355 in his dynasty rankings. You can check both of those out on the site at rotowire.com/pod. James came up with his recent update to those rankings, and Smith-Shawver was a big mover up. He had his recent update last week. So obviously it's pretty fresh in the rankings. He's been a starter at the big league level. I'm wondering what the usage is going to be for him for the Braves, because they just activated Mike Soroka. that gives them five starters. You know, Smith Shauver, like, start off in the bullpen and, you know, eventually move to the rotation.
Yeah, the Spencer Strider comparison is an interesting one, just in the sense that Strider started off last year as a long reliever. So
yeah,
that would make some sense to me. I think Soroka last night was like, he wasn't good, but he was good enough, right? Mm-hmm. It was the A's. I was maybe expecting a little more. That being said, like, Soroka's not really a strikeout guy. He tends to not really be totally like a dominance guy. He's like, so far in his career, even before he was injured, like, he's a good pitcher who, you know, is effective without having massive strikeout rates, you know, career ERA of 2.95, but career K per nine of 7.1. Like, he's that kind of a pitcher, doesn't walk a ton of batters. He was, like I said, he was fine last night. Just okay. Certainly though, plenty good enough to get more starts. Jared Schuster's been okay since getting a new chance at the rotation. He's primed for a good start tomorrow night against the A's. Like, that's a really advantageous position for him. So
I picked him up in labor, so we'll see.
You beat me out on the tiebreaker, by the way.
Oh, that labor. It pays not to be in first place,
yeah.
Fred.
I had a $1.
Humble brag. I'm in first place is what you're saying.
I just said I was ahead of you. I didn't say I was in first place. I had a $1 bid in on him, and then I was like, oh, I'll never get him at a $1. Someone else is going to bid a $1. So I went to $2. At least one other guy, I guess. I didn't bother looking. At least one other guy bid $2. So I thought it was a solid pickup. Just the start this week alone against the A's is probably worth a $1, and then you see where things go from there. So anyways, back to Smith Shauver. I think, yeah, I could see long relief, and then that keeps him fairly stretched out if they need him in the rotation. His minor league numbers are outstanding this year. 1.09 ERA, 0.94 WHIP. 45 right. strikeouts in 33 innings. Last year, they weren't awesome. But this kid's clearly, he's only 20 years old. Like, he wasn't a high draft pick. He's a seventh round draft pick, but he's clearly on the fast track.
Yeah. And he was over slot too. They gave him almost $1 million as a seventh rounder. So
yeah.
Yeah. I mean, they obviously think highly of him, but it's, he's 20 years old and he's already getting the call. He's raced through the minors this year. He started off in high A. He's like the pitcher equivalent of Juan Soto. Mm-hmm. But I also think it demonstrates a need for them too, that they didn't have a guy that they could turn to on the 40-man roster. They felt pretty good about. I always get nervous about situations like this. Like, okay, well, they rushed him a little bit. You know, what sort of role is he going to have? How well is he going to fare?
Yeah, what would you need to see from him between now and Sunday? So obviously, like, in this pitching, I do think pitching stabilized a bit since the beginning of the year. I've heard some other podcasts talking about that. I do find that we're not getting, maybe the blowups haven't been quite as bad, and we've started to figure out some starters we can use. And that being said, like, you can always use more effective pitching. Mm-hmm. What would he have to do between now and Sunday for you to want to pick him up?
We'll see how he debuts.
Like, have like first, a three-inning right? relief appearance where he looks great. Like,
yeah, I mean, that's funny, because on opening day last year, Strider made his debut in relief and cooked. He was great against the Reds, and he pitched multiple innings. So I took because last year was so crazy, there was the lockout. So, you know, we're compressed draft season after the lockout ended. The RotoWire staff keeper league auction and reserve / minors draft happened on opening night. And so I bumped Strider up in my rankings and got him. That's like the one good pick I made. But I was watching it as it was happening. I'm like, well, why not get this guy? And I get him as a minor leaguer too. Mm-hmm. So let's go. And I can choose whether to activate him later on. Obviously it's hugely paying off. So I'll watch that though. I mean, we always look for patterns. It's probably not going to be this. It's probably not going to be that great, because let's face it, Strider's special.
Yeah.
But Atlanta's also kind of a factory for developing these sort of guys.
Yeah, when I look at the Braves bullpen too this year, like, they're middle of the pack in overall ERA. AJ Minter's actually been maybe one of their biggest problems. He's got 7.13 ERA and he's made 25 appearances. But they do have, like, there wasn't a bullpen that I felt like was screaming for help. Like, like, Raisel Iglesias seems to be, like, he hasn't been awesome since he's been back, but he's been fine. I think he's fine. Like, he's going to be fine.
Right.
Nick Anderson's been good for them. Kirby Yates has been, like, okay. Joe Jimenez has been okay. Like, they've been okay. Colin McHugh's been his whip's 192, which isn't good, but ZRA is 354. Like, as far as results go, he's been okay. I don't know. It's like I say, Jesse Chavez has been good for the Braves. So,
right,
it's not a bullpen that I thought was like dying for help. Like, right
well,
now,
obviously,
so
they,
obviously
have to...
they think there's something in this kid where he needs to be in the majors right now.
Yeah. And obviously, I think long term, the plan is obviously as a starter, but it may not begin that way. And that's that used to be the normal way, right?
Yep.
We saw that with so many pitching prospects back in the day. Smith Shawver or Ben Joyce, who made his debut last night, had threw an easy 102 against the White Sox.
Oh, that's a really good question. I'll say maybe. I was gonna say I'll say Smith Shawver for now.
Okay.
My thought on Ben Joyce was maybe that there's maybe a little more of an opening, although Carlos Estevez has been fine.
But yeah, there's a little more opening for this year.
Yeah, maybe there's a little more of an opening in that bullpen for high leverage roles. That was my thinking. But I'm going to say Smith Shawver because he stretched out. Maybe there's a scenario there where you can get a lot of strikeouts from him a week because he's maybe averaging more like four innings a week,
mm-hmm.
getting you six strikeouts a week. I don't think we'll get that necessarily from Ben Joyce. That's what I'm going to say for now. Both of those pitchers, I think, on Sunday in Fab Leagues will be not high bids. They'll be interesting, like between now and then. But I think they'll both be added in 15 team leagues. But not. But again, not for. I'd be surprised if they go for more than $30.
Yeah, I think that they. I think with one of the things they have in mind and why they call Joyce up is because Estevez can't pitch like every day. You know, there's been times early. Remember early in the season, Estevez kept on missing on the save chances. He'd pitch with a 4-run lead, and then he wasn't available the next day. And they just didn't have like the next guy in line. Matt Moore's on the IL right now. So they called up another kid, Sam Bachman, who was in Double A and had major, major control problems, but he also throws really hard. Made his debut on Friday night. I saw that game, actually. I was there in person. But he was their first-round pick in 2021. This is a team that has Salt Lake as their Triple-A affiliate and the Southern League as their Double-A, where they're using that tacky ball. And some pitchers have really struggled with that. And so there's a good article by Sam Blum in the Athletic talking about the Angels and some of their decision-making, how they're being a little aggressive pushing these guys, especially because this is a big year for the Angels, right? You know, it's Ohtani's walk year. They got to win this year. They want to have a chance at retaining him. And if they don't win, if they're not winning at the trade deadline, they have to consider trading him. So, I mean, they're kind of like all in right now, kind of throwing every asset they can. And if some of the other guys in the bullpen were struggling a little bit, well, let's bring on Ben Joyce. Let's bring in Sam Bachman. Let's see what happens with these guys. Because this is the big year.
Yeah. I mean, they've got to have success this year. Like you said, just to have Ohtani finish the year with the team, which is huge for their organization and at least be able to make an attempt to re-sign him. Their bullpen's actually been pretty good this year. So they're seventh in the majors in ERA.
Right.
I wouldn't say it's been like amazing, but they have had some guys, Jaime Barrios, pitch really well as a reliever for them. I know he's in the rotation. Kind of in the rotation right now. I think he is in the rotation, but he made that random relief appearance the other day. Chris Devensky, by the way, 16-0 strikeout to walk for them this year.
I saw that.
Blast from the past. He was a rosterable middle reliever with the Astros a few years ago.
Yeah, they just keep on growing, those guys, the Astros do. It's kind of amazing. Even Jacob Webb has had some moments too. So, I mean, it's not the guys that started the year, like Jose Quijada's on the long-term IL.
Yeah, he's done.
And Matt Moore was really good but got hurt. So that's what kind of triggered all of this, I think.
Yep.
The other thing from the Angels side of things last night was Griffin Canning. Did you see 9 strikeouts in 6 innings? He pitched very well the week before against the Red Sox, shut them down. He might be developing a little bit. I mean, the overall numbers don't look great. 489 ERA, 130 whip, even allowed 3 runs yesterday. So, you know, it may not be great, but I'm seeing some development here. And obviously his next start's not going to be great at Houston, but I actually used him in a 2-step this week because the White Sox and got the win out of it. So got a little slight reward. We'll see if I get punished this weekend.
Yeah, hopefully not. He did face the Astros about 3 weeks ago. 5 runs in 3 2/3 innings. Hopefully he can be better than that for you this time. Yeah, so he was kind of in my waterfall on Sunday, like $10, $20, mostly just for the 2-star week. I didn't get him anywhere. Before yesterday's start, the results. Even the seven shutout innings, it was a 5-3 strikeout to walk. So
right,
you want a little bit lucky, just BABIP lucky. And the starts before, again, most of the starts before that are more like 3 or 4 strikeouts, 2 or 3 walks. Nothing really to hang your hat on. So yeah, yesterday was a big improvement. It was also the White Sox. We'll see where things go from here. But in 15 team leagues, like I said, I was interested in having them. I didn't fully go back and check all of it. I either got out bid or I got someone, I guess, higher in my waterfall than him.
Yeah. I might be kind of wish casting here too, because it's been really hard to find guys on the waiver wire that you can use, especially in 15 team leagues. So maybe I'm just hoping for that a little bit there. Another smashing debut, 2023 version at least, was Royce Lewis. Royce Lewis crushed it with the 3-run homer and another hit later on. He had a great rehab assignment at double and triple A before getting activated. He's playing third base. You're going to get him at short and third in a lot of cases now. And he's probably going to play on a regular basis. How big are you going to be in on him? I know we have him, in the NFBC, we haven't been able to bid on him yet. We have to wait till Sunday.
Yeah, I think he'll go for a pretty substantial bid. We're hitting the point, I think, in some leagues where it's how many people left have the funds for a substantial bid. We've had so many pitchers, like Bobby Miller being the latest one on Sunday, who I felt like in all my leagues went for 250 to 350.
I got a story about that. I'll tell you in a second here.
Okay. And so I just wonder how many teams in the league are going to look at Royce Lewis and say, you know what, I've only got 380 left and I need it. So I'll put in a keep you honest bit of 100, but that's all I can do, or of 80, or that's all I can do. So anyway, in a lot of leagues, I think he will go for a decent amount. It'll just depend on, how much you need offense. It looks like he's still going to run, coming off the knee surgery. Like, he could run before that in the minors. He did play 10 games and steal 4 bases. So kind of maybe sending a message out to the organization, like, I can still steal bases. I can be dynamic on the base paths. Yeah, I think he's going to go for a fair amount. We saw, so Chris Morel went for, I felt like in a lot of my leagues, like 170. Matt McLean, I felt like there was a wide range on him, but I felt like he was generally maybe in the, what do you think? An average bit of Matt McLean, about 150?
Yeah, I'd say that's about
like
right.
Like that? I thought Morel was a little higher than McLean. Like, do you think Royce Lewis breaks that, or do you think he kind of falls in the realm range of those guys?
I think he does, but with an asterisk. And James Anderson brought this point up on the XM show today. If Ellie De La Cruz gets the call this week too, that you might be able to sneak Royce Lewis in a little cheaper than you would have otherwise. And Ellie De La Cruz might get the call this weekend. Reds are in Boston this week, but they come home this weekend to face Milwaukee. And De La Cruz is crushing it. The Athletic had a feature with Ken Rosenthal talking about how they're going to make everything fit, because Jonathan India is kind of the linchpin on this one here. He's not really a good defender at second base, but he doesn't have the arm for third base. But he's also the team leader. He's hitting well, blah, blah, blah. They got to figure out how to make everything work. In the minor leagues, De La Cruz and McLean were splitting time at shortstop. When McLean was at shortstop, De La Cruz was at third. When De La Cruz was at shortstop, McLean went to second. So they kind of have to figure out, okay, who do we want as our shortstop? Who do we, and what does that mean elsewhere? Now, I think the likely scenario is that De La Cruz ends up at third base. And you'll see McLean stay at short because they want to keep India at second. I don't think they're really looking to trade India. I think, at least not right now, he's cheap. He's young in his own right. He's only his third year. I don't really see a reason why they would kind of, want to get rid of someone like that, especially when the next wave, Marte, and other, Cam Collier, they're at least another year away. So I think they have some time here. Even when Christian Encarnacion Strand comes up, they can still put him at DH, put Spencer Steer in the outfield possibly too. There's some things they can do. So I think it's not going to change things, but that might be slowing the Ellie train down just a little bit. We'll see. But if Ellie comes up and Lewis comes up, then I think Ellie will be more expensive. Lewis might be more ready now to help you though too.
I was going to ask a couple questions about that. If they were both up by Sunday, who would be the top of your bid queue?
Dude, I'm a Reds fan.
I get. Okay, can you take the Reds fan out of it?
I can't.
Help them
out with Ellie.
Here.
With anybody else, I could. Not with Ellie. I cannot. I will be very aggressive on Ellie De La Cruz. I think, but seriously, I would be anyhow. I mean, he's like top of the prospects list everywhere, including ours. But you know, Lewis is right there too. I think both these guys could fetch $400 plus bids in leagues. And I think at least one main event, he'll go for over 500 because there's someone out there that's held their money a little bit more. I wanted to tie this all back together with Bobby Miller. You brought up Bobby Miller, who crushed it yesterday. Bobby Miller was available in Scarf. He was available in almost all my leagues. In Scarf, which is there's Earth leagues. I think I've talked about them with you before, at least a little bit. But there's Barf, there's Nerf, there's all these. I've got the Southern California version, and there's a live draft. That's what part of the appeal of this league. But in that league, it's been very pretty aggressive. I had 585 going into the this past weekend, which was the most available. So everybody had spent at least 40% of their FAB, which is actually pretty cool.
Yeah, that's a lot.
You think about it. So I'm like, okay, I've got a mini hammer here. I might as well use it. This, as I had gotten shut out in the main events and the online championship, everywhere else I had been shut out on Bobby Miller. There's about 10 minutes, and they have a 2-hour lag after all the other NFBC bids go, as far as FAB bidding goes. So I'm on there with Genstad, and we're talking about that, and like, 10 minutes left. I think I might go aggressive after Bobby Miller. I hope my league mates aren't listening. Oh, they're not listening. And he goes, what do you think you're going to do? And I was like, like 240. And he goes, you better go to 243 now because somebody else is going to bid. All right. And I go, or he goes 242. I think he said, you better go 242 because somebody else will probably bid. And so I did move it up. I moved it to 253. Someone did 243. So someone was listening because we said that exact number. Like,
amazing.
Someone, you got to go 243. And someone else did 243. So that was pretty funny. I'm not sure who it was in the league. No one's copped to it in our group IM chat, but at least it's nice to know at least one person in the league is listening. So anyhow, I thought it was pretty funny, and we were able to announce it on air that I had won him. So that's the one league I got Bobby Miller. He looked really good yesterday.
Yeah, absolutely. Maybe the Dodgers pitching magic is back in form a little bit, right? Because they weren't able to sprinkle it so far on any of the pitchers that they signed or that they brought up from the minors. But here's one. We'll see where it goes from here, but here's one now. Two starts, two earned runs, two walks. Not a lot of strikeouts, but enough. Nine mm-hmm. and 11 innings is fine. It's not great, but it's a start. And the opponents, I'd say reasonable. At Atlanta, hard. Home to Washington, not hard.
Right.
But not Oakland either. So
Sent down Gavin Stone. They're calling up Michael Grove for that spot in the rotation next.
Yeah.
Urias didn't throw from the mound on Saturday. They didn't describe it as a setback, but they also, you know, it also makes you feel like they're going to pump the brakes just a little bit.
Yep.
But
there's an interesting question that I have with Miller in relation to Lewis and De La Cruz is like, if you're going to make a $250 bid, a $300 bid, should it be on a pitcher or a hitter? And I know the easy cop-out answer is, well, you got to look at your team and see what you need. Let's say all things are equal. You know, is it easier to this season? Is it easier to stream hitting and get some full-time players every week versus is it easier to find starting pitching on waivers? Cause like you mentioned with Griffin Canning, it's hard to find starting pitching, usable starting pitching on waivers. So you end up doing some wish casting. You end up, oh, fine, I'll take the White Sox start and I'll absorb the Astros start and see how it goes. And that was even probably desirable. Like I said, I didn't get him in any of my leagues and mm-hmm. I put in claims.
I think it's always hard to stream starters though.
I definitely find it. Yeah. I would have to go back. I did find it like over 10 years ago. I felt like a little easier.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Maybe I'm not remembering it well, but I did find it a little easier back then. Maybe it wasn't. Like I said, maybe I'm remembering it better than it really was. But so does that mean that you should bid on the Bobby Millers, that you should be saving your money for another pitching prospect? And that as cool as Ellie De La Cruz or as cool as Royce Lewis are, that you can work without them better. You know, you.
I guess it kind of depends on what you've done so far on your team, right?
Yeah.
I think
I know, like I have a team that just would die for Royce Lewis or and Ellie De La Cruz.
Yeah. And if you got Matt McClain, you probably don't. If you bought Matt McClain, you probably don't need it as badly.
Yeah.
Right. But especially, you know, I have a league where I actually don't have a spot for De La Cruz because
so do I.
You know, it's an online championship league. I've got Marcus Semien. I have McLean there. I mean, I guess it's a question. Okay, am I going to bench McLean to pick up De La Cruz? And that feels really uncomfortable. So I mean, that's the tricky.
I mean, those situations do sort themselves out usually, but at the same time, it may not. Like if you're going for it, like you may want to. Right, you may. So that is an advantage of Royce Lewis. Is there's with him being third and shortstop eligible in a couple weeks. There's more ways to fit him into your lineup. Mm-hmm. But I think it should really boil down to just which player you think is going to be better this year, right? Because all the other stuff, who's in a better lineup, who hits in a better spot in the lineup, whatever. So like one of these players will probably play a lot better than the other one.
Yeah. And this isn't just a prospect. It's the prospect.
Yes.
I think that's the other difference too.
Yeah. And then I will also say that them, like when I was talking about Bobby Miller, there aren't that many more pitchers to save your money for.
I'd agree with that. Gavin Williams is probably it, but you don't know when he's going to get the call.
I feel like he's never getting the call.
Right, because like, they're getting Tristan McKenzie back. They're getting Savali back, is coming on Friday.
Right.
So it would take like three spots really to open up. I mean, it would definitely take another injury because they already have. Yeah. I mean, they're going to move down. I guess they could go six man with Cleveland, but they've never shown a proclivity to do so. So it seems like it's hard to be patient for him, for sure. I mean, the one Uncle Ted asked, do you think Emmett Sheehan or Ben Brown are coming? I mean, sure, Sheehan, but Sheehan's in double A. So I think it might be a while still with him. I mean, and that's the thing with double A pitchers. I mean, he could go straight to the majors, skip triple A. It doesn't seem what the Dodgers usually do though. And then Ben Brown, but again, the Cubs actually have a decent enough rotation. It would take a trade and or injury. Now, a trade may be happening with the Cubs. Ken Rosenthal was talking about them possibly tearing down a little bit after they got swept by our Reds over the weekend. But I think it's still premature for that, too. I think you're going to need the whole month of June before you start seeing that. And, you know, injuries obviously change everything. But I don't think that you're going to push Ben Brown. I think it's another month.
Yeah. And the Cubs stink. Like, I kind of think the Cubs stink. Like, they even got off to a decent start, like, say, the first 10 games or so. And since then, and now they're 23-30.
I don't think they stink.
No. You're just saying that because they're one game behind the Reds.
No, I'm saying – I actually,
so the Reds stink?
Well, yes, they stink. But keep in mind, I like being right. From the beginning of the season, I thought they'd do better than the Brewers. I just thought that they had a decent team. I mean, I don't know. I mean, remember, this is they just got Kyle Hendricks back. They got to work him back in. I have no interest in Hendricks, by the way. I used to be the Kyle Hendricks stan. Now I'm just going to – I'm rooting for him to do well, but I won't be doing it on my roster. But the other question that I wanted to answer real quick before we get to the next segment, when we were talking about De La Cruz, how early in the week would he have to be called up to be eligible in the NFBC? Basically Saturday. If he calls up Saturday and plays – he's eligible Sunday. If he gets called up on Sunday, he won't be eligible. So basically, I think he has to play also for him to be eligible. I have to double check on that. But yeah. But going back to Cubs, Reds talk, I mean, that whole division's got a shot. The division stinks. Yep. Everybody stinks. It might be the worst NL Central in a while because even the best team, the Brewers, is what, 2 games over .500? And they don't look like they're set. They look like a team that could be pretty pretty shaky. Yep.
Oh, yeah. I see a comment here in the chat from the Hart Foundation saying that they have a shot. It's long season. Oh yeah, they do have a shot. And I'm saying they stink. I'm saying both things. So the team that wins that division might stink. I don't think that. I do think that some team, whether it's the Cardinals, catch fire at some point, go on a bit of a run, whether it's the Brewers, kind of get their act together, are a little better than they are right now. I don't think they'll be good, but be better than stinks. But yeah, that's a division where you could stink and win the division, or at least be in the race after Labor Day.
Both Central Division teams stink. I mean, both Central Divisions stink. And it's like this all the time. I mean, it's like they've all collectively decided, okay, well, you know, with six playoff spots, we're going to get at least one team in, and you know, we'll be like that one. We could get that one. You know, the Reds tried trying for a little bit, and they decided it didn't suit their purposes, so they're back to being cheap asses. But at least they had a plan to stock their farm system well. I mean, I prefer that than, say, the Rockies, who I don't know what their plan is. I thought the Cubs were trying this year.
Yeah,
maybe
too.
Not, but we'll yep. see. I mean, they didn't. The Cubs did get a bunch of middling guys. That is the one thing. They have a team full of third starters.
Yep.
And you know, although Stroman, you know, Marcus Stroman's like, hello, I threw a one hit shutout yesterday. I mean, don't call me a third tier. Okay, he's better than that. And he also doesn't want to get traded, which I think is interesting too.
Yeah. Maybe he looks at how bad the division is and he's like, oh, we wouldn't have to get that much better, guys.
Yeah.
For us to climb back into this race or even be in it next year or whatever. It's also not like the Reds will eventually be good again, probably, with all these prospects. But it's not it probably
gotta be able to pitch
this year
though.
And it may not even be next year.
Yeah. I mean, Lodolo's right? gotta get healthy again and be good again. Yeah. Ashcraft's kind of had a rough May after a good April.
Yeah.
They've got Andrew Abbott. They've got another kid. Name's escaping me right now, but that James kind of likes in his prospect rankings. I will pull his name up momentarily, and I'll tell you who that kid is because I don't want to be that another kid. Connor Phillips is the other pitching prospect that's of note. But, I mean, this is a team full of middle infield prospects. Carlos Jorge, Cam Collier. I mean, they've got Edwin Arroyo's he's a middling prospect, but point is they've got prospects. They've got 15 in James's top 400. That's pretty good.
Yep, for sure. And they're going to be good someday. It just may not be next year. We could go through a time where, you know, they start coming up this year, they keep coming up next year, but there's growing pains, blah, blah, blah. And then they eventually, you know, get it figured out. But I don't know. Maybe there's a scenario here where the Reds hang around in the race and De La Cruz comes up and just they hang around because they have a 450 winning percentage and no one else in the division is much better.
How many times do we see it? The young teams get more competitive before you think they're going to be competitive, but we'll see. Dude, your Jays are down 2-0 already. William Contreras just homered off of Yusei Kikuchi. The bloom is a little bit off that rose.
Yeah, I have Yusei Kikuchi in the Tout Wars draft and hold, and I have stopped using him. I used him a little bit at the beginning of the season. And then I think I got burned. Yeah, he hasn't.
I came close to using Kikuchi tonight in the Tout Wars DFS contest because Brewers on the road against the lefty has been a formula.
Yeah.
And I just couldn't do it. He's just been so meh lately. Yeah. It's just so scary.
So many home runs. Like that's 14 home runs going into tonight's game. There's 15, I think 16 leads the majors to put that in perspective. So, the Blue Jays pitching has been, I don't want to make this a Blue Jays podcast, but the Blue Jays pitching this year is just so up and down.
Come on, make it a Blue Jays podcast. I just made it Reds cast for the last 10 minutes, so we can do that.
Actually, some of the Blue Jays, like Barrios has an ERA in the threes, Bassett has an ERA in the threes, but I feel like those pitchers have both had some stinkers. And then
just recently with Bassett. Yeah.
Recently with Bassett. And then I like Bassett. By the way, I have never cheered for a team with Chris Bassett on it, obviously, before. I like the guy.
Good.
Stand-up guy. I like him in the media. Everybody likes those guys who pitch better than their stuff indicates.
Yeah.
Right. Mark Burley was maybe the ultimate one of them.
Yep.
He was on the Blue Jays for a while. Like just so
Kyle Hendricks. Yeah.
Right. Exactly. It's so easy to cheer for a guy with a fastball in the 80s. Right. And Marco Estrada was like that, you know, and Bassett's kind of like that, where he's not overpowering, but he's a lot of pitches and he finds a way and he seems like he's really thinking and battling. Those guys are fun to cheer for.
Stroman was kind of like that too. When he was with the Jays.
Oh, and Stroman was super fun to cheer for. And then he kind of turned people off by just being maybe like just a little too much, like sometimes a little too big of a chip on his shoulder sometimes, and maybe picked fights where he didn't need to pick them. But there was a time where Stroman was wildly popular here in Toronto. It's just like he's the plucky underdog, right? Yep.
He went to Duke. I was going to say, smart guy.
It's hard to be that much of an underdog when you went to Duke and you were drafted actually pretty high in the MLB draft. So he's not totally an underdog, but I get it just based on his height. He was an underdog and he marketed himself that way and he was really popular, but then he did kind of, like I said, there were times where he was abrasive where it didn't seem necessary to be abrasive and it kind of, like he just kind of wore people out.
See, yeah. I just thought of him as smart. And I always cheer for the smart guys. I don't know. So I liked him too.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was happy to see his outing yesterday. It was he was fun to watch yesterday. In that game, by the way, Taj Bradley also pitched pretty well.
Yeah, really well.
Unlucky loser in that one there. But yeah, I like seeing him a little bit. All right, got to take care of some business. First, we're on the Blue Wire Network. Here are their ads.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
All right. Also, I want to share on a quick commercial note with our friends over at Rival Fantasy. A new MLB season means it's time for a new kind of daily fantasy baseball. Rival Fantasy is the fantasy platform reinventing the way daily and weekly games are played. And they brought new games to the ballpark this year that fantasy players won't find anywhere else. Rival Fantasy's games include Fantasy Bingo, Head-to-Head Player Challenges, and Fantasy Book, where users can select over-unders for 2 to 5 players. With games like this, daily fantasy has never been better. Right now, RotoWire listeners can get a $50 protected first play. That means if you win your first play, you keep your winnings, obviously. But if you lose your first entry, Rival Fantasy will fully refund you up to $50. Go to play.rivalfantasy.com/signup and use code RotoWireMLB at signup and deposit a minimum of $25 to get your first entry on Rival, protected up to $50. Now's the time to step up to the plate and become a Rival today. Welcome to the arena. Got to tell you guys, when you're doing the, you know, whether it's gaming or any sort of like fantasy adjunct type of contest here like that, these first time signup bonuses are hugely important. Our parent company, gambling.com, they specialize in helping you find those sort of things. We always have like some ads on the site to find that, but it's really the best way to kind of increases your edge versus the vendor, whether it's a book or otherwise. So make sure you check that out if you're into doing that a little bit. Okay, let's talk about a couple other things here. Another debut, another smashing debut. Patrick Bailey yesterday. You know, not Philip Bailey. He's not an easy lover, but he's an easy homer. Patrick Bailey, are we into him with the Giants at all?
Maybe by default, not like this, hitting 355 with a 1,000 OPS, but maybe as a two catcher league, Giants haven't really been able to land on a catcher. I feel like this year, like Joey Bart's been hurt. They've had Blake Sable kind of got some homers, a couple steals early in the season, but he hasn't done anything for a while. I don't know if Bailey's going to be much, but I mean, he was hitting 276 in the minors. He's not a good hitter. Or he wasn't a good hitter in the minors, but he's still pretty young. And catchers often develop their hitting acumen a little later. He's only 24. I don't know. I picked Bailey up for $2 in an NFBC league.
So did I.
Where I had Sable as the catcher, as my second catcher. I was like, well, I'll try Bailey. Sable's not really doing much. I beat out a bid. I won him 2-1 over someone. And in a $1,000 fab league, that's pretty rare. So
Shu and I have him on the worst live Vegas team ever drafted. Yeah. They need to, you know, get a trademark to that.
Something went right with that team.
Yeah. Oh, well, the funny thing is we dropped Ryan Jeffers for him, and Jeffers homered yesterday.
He homered last night too. Yeah.
But yeah, I'm looking at Bailey Deeper. So he was a first round draft pick in 2020.
Yeah. Yeah.
The Giants like spending first round draft picks on catchers. Apparently that's their thing. Joey Bart, obviously Buster Posey. They're just trying to find the next one of these guys. They always draft ACC catchers in the first round too. Bailey went to NC State. And I know Bart went to Georgia Tech, and Posey went to Florida State. So they have their niche. This is what they like. I don't know if they have a travel budget to other conferences. They should look into that. But Bailey, didn't really. I mean, last at Double A Richmond, he was hitting well, but he did it at age 24. Also, you know, it's like, okay, it's time for him to start doing well at that level.
Yeah.
Even in the big leagues here, he's played in 9 games, 7 Ks, 1 walk. Kind of think that there's probably a reckoning coming, but the same time, what's Joey Bart ever done to kind of earn this job?
I was going to say, do you think Joey Bart is just done being a thing with the Giants? Like, is this, I don't know, we'll see, but this is just another, he's been hurt, he's on the IL for the second time this year. It's just a lousy start to the season for him. He's got a 581 OPS. He has not had a season in the majors with an OPS of 700. His strikeout to walk rate's terrible every year. I wonder if Joey Bart's just not going to turn out.
Yeah, the thing is, he did have 11 homers last year in 97 games. So you're kind of like, okay, I could take a 15-homer season from him and sacrifice some average, right? This year, 0 homers, of course.
He not only has 11 homers this year, he has 11 homers now in his career. All last year, 158 career games, 11 homers.
So before between his injuries, he had a 25% K rate. It was 38.5 last year. So you're looking for some semblance of glimmer of hope. That's it. But not really, even then. Line drive percentage is way down, 14.5%. So he's making more contact, but worse contact. I don't think I like that trade-off.
If I thought there was any real future in Patrick Bailey, I would have been more than $2 out of 1,000 for him.
Yeah.
I just feel like, why not? If your second catcher is Ryan Jeffers or Blake Sable, like, why not try Bailey? I'll try him here for a week. He might have already done enough last night to get another week out of me to nail it. But I'll try him for a couple of weeks until I see what's going on with him and keep looking on the waiver wire. I think that's where he's at right now.
It's been a wonderful life for Bailey, but I don't know if we'll move on there.
Yeah.
Thank you. Sorry. I'll be here all the week.
Out of season. That one's out of season, but we'll take it.
Yeah. Let's talk. We talked Twins already a little bit there. How about the Cardinals? The Cardinals yesterday, they went all the way to the 8th inning for having their first base runner on a day where the Royals, who are the Royals, were doing a bullpen start and started with Josh Stalmont and then Mike Myers. Their former pitcher shut them down, had 6 perfect innings until finally gave up hits in the 8th inning. Ridiculously bad day for the Cardinals.
Yeah, absolutely. Does it mean that there's anything in Mike Myers, the kind of spelled Mayers. Is there anything in Mike Myers that you think is noteworthy in fantasy?
I don't think so. I think this was just, I kept on hearing the Cardinals broadcaster say, this is our 18th game in 18 days, blah, blah, blah. Boo hoo, you're baseball players, first of all. But secondly, I don't know. I mean, no, as far as Myers goes, and I think it is Myers, but I have to double check on that. I thought that's what they were saying during the broadcast yesterday. I think he's just a journeyman that is on a heater right now. I mean, his numbers are good this year, 1.35 ERA, 1.13 WHIP, but he has 13 innings pitched this year and 6 of them were yesterday.
Yeah. I think just yesterday, everything found a glove. He only had 3 strikeouts yesterday. He did in his previous performance, he did get 8 4⅔ against the Tigers. I'm with you. He's a journeyman who's kind of hot / maybe just everything found a glove yesterday against the Cardinals. I think it was just a bad luck day for the Cardinals against a team that typically, you know, can't make you have a bad luck day. Yep. Yeah. I'm not reading too much into it. Paul DeJong on the Cardinals, I think, has turned back into a pumpkin.
Yep. Hart Foundation was mentioning that. Yes. Yeah. So he kind of got the Cardinal Devil magic, but it was only temporary magic. And yeah. he's like on an 0 for 20 streak or something like that. It's bad.
Used some of his Cardinal Devil magic in previous seasons.
Yeah, in the last week he's 1 for 21. So that's not great. Even over the last 21 days, keep in mind he has 6 homers in the last 21 days. Even with that, he's hitting 194 over that period of time. So I was kicking myself. The worst team ever drafted dropped him, and then he went on that tear that 1 week. But at least I didn't pick him back up again.
Yes, and compound the mistake. There's not much good going on with him lately. Nolan Arenado's kind of gone back into a slump. Like he was bad, then he broke out of it. He hasn't been good in the last week or two. So
it's hard to keep hot streaks going, right? I mean, it's hard to, I mean, the slumps seem to last forever and the hot streaks don't, but it's really not true.
His last week, he's 3 for 18, no homers, one RBI, no runs. So he's on kind of a slump. Tommy Edman hasn't done much in the past little bit. It's kind of Paul Goldschmidt and that's about it right now.
Yeah.
Lars Nootbaar's been okay, but he's day to day right now.
He got hurt yesterday. Yeah. Back injury, I think it was, going back on a fly ball, and that was tough. That hurt. Did not like that at all. That was super frustrating as well.
If only this team had like an elite prospect ready to come in majors who might be able to spark their team.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe they should comb the minors and see if there's a guy,
just dig deep,
six has got a little bit of getting his feet wet in the majors and actually didn't embarrass himself.
Yeah. And apparently Jordan Walker has made some positive adjustments too. Yeah. So we're looking to see, maybe we'll get him called back up soon. Of course, Ollie Marmol may not even commit to playing him. That's the problem that we always have to worry about.
I'm being a little sarcastic in the sense that I do think Walker will be up again at some point. And I do think the fact that the Cardinals aren't hitting well probably does help his cause. Marmol aside, I know he's your pet peeve. But like at some point, if the team's just not playing well, you know, that probably does increase the chances that they bring Walker up to try to spark them.
I mean, I should be happy about this, right? I'm a Reds
fan. Like, this increases the chance that your Reds are going to win the division. Yeah. LA De La Cruz hitting a game-winning homer in game 162, and they go into the playoffs.
Andrew Abbott closing it out, getting something like that. Yeah,
there you go.
That would be beauty. Yeah. By the way, I was right on one part about this Jays Brewers game. Jays are already up 3-2 in the bottom of the first in this game now.
For the second consecutive episode, we've established the fact that your TV is about 20 seconds ahead of mine.
Sorry for the spoiler, but I'm sure it's a happy spoiler.
It's 2-2 up here in Canada.
Whit Merrifield just saw
the ground ball down the third baseline. Yeah.
That is the most Whit Merrifield hit ever. That is. Perfectly placed hard ground ball.
Very Whit Merrifield since joining the Blue Jays, and that is not a compliment or an insult.
Nope, it's just he is.
Yep, he is. He's hitting .285 with not a great walk rate, .713 OPS. That is so Whit Merrifield.
Yeah, it is.
Yep, some steals. Yeah, he's fine.
So riddle me this: Phillies, they're kind of struggling, right? They're 26-28, 25-28. Yeah, maybe a little hangover from the World Series. The Mets are kind of struggling, 27-27. Pretty big series, right? Why is Bryce Harper out of the lineup today?
Yeah, I'm assuming that's a planned day off and that maybe they have a rigid schedule for Bryce that they're not willing to move off of in May on May 30th, regardless of the opponent, I guess.
I mean, they had an off day yesterday.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, you're right. But was that the plan to give him kind of like a,
you know, it is. Like, that our note says it's a planned day of physical and mental rest for Harper.
Yeah. I mean, maybe this one was set in stone, like previously, where it was like we're gonna give him like his own weekend kind of thing. So that's what Rob Thompson said. He's Canadian. Canadians don't lie. So this is everything he said is exactly, whether you agree with it or not, it is exactly what they're planning. Maybe he'll get into tonight's game. I don't know.
Maybe.
Right. if you're, yeah, I don't know.
Big moment, need a pinch hit. You know, they're trailing by one run or they're tied late. Maybe that could be it. But
I mean, the fact that Harper's even back now is pretty miraculous. The fact that he made it back so quickly. So, like I said, I guess this is just part of the plan. He was 0 for 10. He was on an 0 for 10 streak before he got this two-day break. So maybe they seen, I don't know, maybe they think that he needs this break.
Yeah. 0 for Atlanta, huh?
Maybe if they're going to, exactly.
That's not true. Breaks, there's a four-game series, sorry.
Maybe give Trey Turner a break if they're going to give guys breaks and see if it can fix them.
Yeah.
Since he's been not very good.
Yeah. I don't know.
He was basically booing himself the other day, saying, I stink. They should boo me. I've been terrible.
Boo, so, he says.
Yeah, boo to myself.
You know who shouldn't be booed is Francisco Alvarez. And a comment in the chat saw that, sparked that. He's batting second now. He's up to 8 homers. Dude, he's 21 years old. He won't turn 22 until November. He's already slugging .558. You know, if you spent the big fab money on Francisco Alvarez, you're pretty happy about that. You waited the appropriate amount of time to get his catcher eligibility, and he saved most of his production for once he did get eligible at catcher too.
Yeah, fun fact. Well, I'll go fun question to reveal the fun fact. How many catcher eligible players have more homers than Francisco Alvarez?
I don't know, but I'll say like 2.
Yeah, 2.
Who are they?
2. Sal Perez.
Okay.
And Sean Murphy.
Yeah, makes sense.
12 and 11 respectively. There's also Varsho, Rutschman, Cal Raleigh, who are tied with them.
Yeah.
At 8.
And the thing is, we're seeing like this, the Mets, they're figuring out the concept of sunk costs, and you know, you're going to see more of Vientos. You're going to see more of, Beatty, and you know, they're not going to be perfect. They're going to struggle here and there a little bit there. We'll see that today. There's a lefty on the mound for the Phillies. So no Beatty in the lineup there, but Vientos is batting 5th. Now Vientos hasn't done anything yet. He's had that one homer on the first day he got called up. He did not have so he had a smashing debut and nothing since, really.
Yeah.
And he's only played 8 games. You're going to wait a while for him to get eligible at a position. And that just chills my interest. I got him in a keeper league where I could activate him, but I'm not because he's just not playing enough. And he doesn't have the position eligibility. Only 2 games at third and 1 at first. Most everywhere else has been DH for him.
Yeah, and Beatty also has been pretty underwhelming. Like, we talked about him when he first came up and how I had really wisely picked him up the week before he came up, and I was so smart. Well, I don't know if I was smart or not, because he hasn't really done much. He's got 4 homers and no steals. He's hitting .246,
710
OPS. Like, he's not embarrassing himself, but he's certainly not sparking their lineup at all. Alvarez now looks like the way, at least especially with catcher eligibility, looks like a much more valuable player to have for the rest of the season. We'll see where it goes from here. I mean, Alvarez also took great advantage of the Coors Field by hitting 2 homers when they were there.
Yeah.
Over the weekend, it kind of boosts his total. But anyways, Beatty has also been pretty underwhelming. I think the Mets are going to figure it out and make the playoffs. Like, I agree. Not like 100% on that, but I think Verlander will have a good stretch. I think Scherzer, like a dominant stretch. I think Scherzer will have a dominant stretch. I think there's enough talent in that lineup that they'll get it together. And I don't know if they'll ever have a stretch where they're just, you know, hitting like crazy, but I think there's a lot of established veterans in that lineup who haven't really played as well as they can.
Agreed. Most of them pitchers, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So,
and they did get exceedingly unlucky. Verlander got hurt on opening, went on the IL on opening day. Scherzer's missed some time. Carrasco's been on the IL. Yep. Obviously, Edwin Diaz is a bad injury, really, really bad break. Jose Quintana never made it to the opening bell. Granted, it's Jose
and
Quintana,
will be back at some point. And typically is a pretty solid, you know, mid-3s, low-4s ERA type guy who's useful for a major league team. Like, Quintana will be back.
Yeah. They got they were forced to do the right thing with Alvarez. If Omar Narvaez doesn't get hurt, and significantly hurt, do we even see Alvarez up by now?
No, probably not.
Yeah, that and then Nito got hurt for a while too, so they really were forced to just let Alvarez play and get some rhythm, as opposed to being like a platoon bat or something of some sort. So that also kind of like that's actually a good break that they caught.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, where circumstances force you to promote the prospects, and then you're like, hey, we were so smart to promote that prospect.
Question about another Met, Ronnie Mauricio. Does he have the tools to be as productive as Elliott or Royce Lewis? I don't think so. In fact, if you look at like our prospect rankings, he's actually climbed up. He's 35th in the rankings. But here's the thing. Mauricio, first of all, where is he going to play, right? That's a big aspect. They've got this guy named Lindor who's going to be there for a while at short. Second base, they've usually got McNeil, although sometimes they force McNeil in the outfield. That would be the thing. If they call Mauricio up, he plays second base, and McNeil goes the outfield full time. I don't know if you want that.
Yeah, I'm with you. I don't think he's as much on my radar, at least for this season.
Yeah, you know,
to make a big fantasy impact.
And he's not the same type of hitter either, for that matter. Right. I think his values is the speed, right?
That's right. He is having a good year this year, but I don't think he's maybe quite on like the De La Cruz level.
They did have 26 homers last year. Maybe I'm telling him a little.
No, he's good. He's a good prospect for sure. But those 26 homers came with a .296 on base percentage.
That's true. That's true.
That's pretty like career minors is .310. Like that is a bad on base percentage for a really good prospect in his minor league career.
Yep, indeed. Yeah. So, alrighty. That enough on the Phillies and the Mets. That's 0-0 right now. If you are tuning in while listening to us, I appreciate that. But a lot of good stuff going on. Who did we miss? Oh, the Tigers. Eduardo Rodriguez just went on the IL. And this looks like a pretty bad one here too. It's a pulley rupture to his index finger, and I didn't get a chance to read the full article, but they said it could miss some significant amount of time. He would have been one of the few guys on the trade market that would have been of some interest. This obviously kind of kills that, at least in the short term. You know, it was such a good story this season. This is obviously negative.
Yeah, this just Eduardo Rodriguez feels kind of like a guy who just can't catch a break.
Yeah,
I just feel like just when things start going his way, like they just. Yeah, he just like that's what I'm saying. He just can't catch a break. Like 2020, he missed that whole shortened season. Remember, he got sick and couldn't, like, he had the heart condition after that. Like, mm-hmm. said he had COVID and then he got the heart condition after that. And he didn't pitch at all. And then back the next year and was like, okay, he couldn't. That was the year he couldn't match like his expected stats. He had a 4.74 ERA, but like a great strikeout rate and a good FIP. And he just couldn't. It seemed like he was getting unlucky. And then he went to the Tigers and people were like, well, he got unlucky last year. Like this year, he's in an easier park to pitch in and he's going to get luckier, you know, by default and everything will be fine. And then he had the problems in his personal life last year and he only made 17 starts. And then this year he starts off amazing. And for fantasy managers who picked him up or drafted him, I was like, hey, good on you. Like I didn't go back in that well. I was in that well last year. I did not go back in that well this year. And
right.
I was like, well, I missed out. I should have gone back for more.
I have him in one place where he's been a very pleasant surprise, and that does hurt.
It does hurt because if he's out for a long time, do you hold him? If he's going to be out a couple months, I don't think you do.
2 months, no. 1 month, yes.
Yeah, that's how I kind of feel too. Like if it's 2+ months, like this is just he was pitching really well to start this year, but this is a guy with a career ERA of 4.02.
Yeah,
like I don't think you can hold him for 2+ months.
Right. Nathan Eovaldi has been another one of those pleasant surprises. Oh, pitched absolutely. Well yesterday. Don't have a whole lot of him, unfortunately.
This is his. He's had other good years and good stretches and everything, but this one so far is probably his best stretch. This is the lowest save. It would be the lowest FIP of his career. He's always. I don't know. I feel like Eovaldi always. If you're like an analytics person, like has always been a pitcher who seems a little bit better than his ERA usually indicates. He's off to a really good start. Maybe it's good to be out of Fenway. I do feel like things are breaking right for, other than DeGrom, things are breaking right for the Rangers right now. And I actually have a trade article coming out tomorrow where I talk about that maybe some of their players are a little over their skis right now as far as fantasy production. Just like everything, their team BABIP is second in baseball. By the way, do you want to guess which team's ahead of them in BABIP? And I asked you, I'll give you a hint. I asked you for a reason.
I guess it's the Reds.
It is the Reds. They lead the majors in BABIP. So,
well, they're averaging 4.5 runs despite being a bottom power team. So that makes sense.
So anyway, so things have broken pretty well for the Rangers so far this year. So I wonder if they're a little over their skis, and a few of their players are maybe are going to have some regression. But I'm not saying they're going to bottom out, just some regression. But anyways, yeah, guys like Eovaldi, John Gray, they've been getting a lot of really good pitching. And then their lineup has scored a ton of runs.
Yeah.
And when you look at the advanced stats, they don't totally look like a lineup that should have as many runs as they do. They should be good, but not this good.
Yeah, I'd agree. Yeah. One of the things, talking about the trade market, you know, I'll give you a plug to your other employer, Yahoo. I love, like, on their leagues, you can go, if you got a league with on Yahoo, you can look up the trade market and see who's been traded. So Eovaldi, a straight up trade. Tonight's starter for the Twins, Joe Ryan versus Nathan Eovaldi. Who do you got for the rest of the season?
Joe Ryan.
Yeah. I think so too.
There's just been enough history there with Eovaldi with either injuries or inconsistencies. I think I'll just take door number two. Since door number two is also a very attractive door, I'll take door number two.
Yeah. Well, here, because
that's not even a sell. That's not even like a sell high. Well, it's a sell high in Eovaldi. Sorry. I was going to say, like, you're not even giving up this year's production to trade him for Joe Ryan.
Yeah. So here's with Eovaldi, he's got a contract clause. If he gets a combined 300 innings this year and next, he gets another year guaranteed on his contract.
Yeah.
He has not had a 2-year stretch where he's combined for over 300 innings since 2014-15. Any two given year consecutive years after that, he has not reached that level. Came close in 21 to 22, where he went 182 in 21, and in 22 he did 109. Now, of course, 2020, not his fault. He made 9 starts, 48 innings. And he was, and then, you know, so can't really say that it's his fault, but the point is he's had these issues.
Yeah, for sure. So trading him for Joe Ryan, like I said, like, I don't even think you're losing out on talent. And then you're also getting rid of some, potentially getting rid of some instability. Not that we know that Joe Ryan's going to be super stable, but
for sure
he doesn't have that checkered track record for sure. And maybe a little more likely to be a true breakout pitcher because he's a lot younger.
Yeah. Question out there from Jolt asks, would you trade Bichette for Ellie in a dynasty league? Ellie De La Cruz in a dynasty league. I agree with MJ, who says no way. I say no way also. I mean, Ellie De La Cruz could ultimately be better, but you might also be like where you're hoping that's what you get, right? I also think that's a possibility also. So I'm kind of like, you've got it in hand. You know what you have in Bichette. Why trade that away?
Yeah, I think there'd have to be, like, maybe if there were like salaries involved or something like that,
sure,
like, depending on how, like, if there was more information there on how long you can keep Bichette for, or like I say, salaries or something like that. But just straight up, like Bichette's only 4 years older than De La Cruz. Mm-hmm. Like you need De La Cruz to ascend to basically being like a first round caliber player to make that a fair trade.
I guess I'll tamp it down just a little. I won't say no way, but I say I would not do that.
Yeah. The one thing on Bichette, and I have Bichette on a team that's important to me this year, and obviously hitting wise, he's doing great. He is not stealing bases. He has 2. 5 attempts, 2. And he stunk at stealing bases last year. Like, he was 13 for 21. This year he's 2 for 5. It's a little concerning where he hits in the lineup. Like, if he can't steal effectively, right, with Guerrero right behind him, like, he's not going to steal. I was hoping for 20 steals for him this year, and I don't think I'm going to get anything close. And that is a factor in his, he's playing great, but that is a factor in his fantasy production. When De La Cruz comes up, you're probably going to get steals for a few years.
We talked about Bichette and his stealing last year, because if you recall, sprint speed was not that great.
Yep.
Especially for the position, and especially for like the home to first, which we often use as a proxy for ability to steal bases. It's usually the best measure of sprint speed. And the fact is, he was not that fancy on that. And his sprint speed is actually down this year from last year. It was 27.5 feet per second last year, 26.8 this year. So position rank was 38th last year. It's now 40th this year. So yeah, the speed is declining. It's unlikely to get better, by the way.
No, it usually does not.
I'm call me ageist. I am. And I'm no sprint specialist, but I usually these guys don't improve as they get older. So, maybe I'm talking myself into thinking that this is more of a legitimate question.
Yeah. So, like I said, the way I can see it is your team isn't good in a dynasty league. You're mm-hmm. rebuilding. So you give up Bichette and you go younger. But again, you're projecting that De La Cruz will be awesome in the majors, which he might be, but he's certainly not. He's not. I think I would want more than De La Cruz. I'd want, if I was rebuilding, I'd want, because that's the reason you would make this trade, is you don't have a chance for the next couple of years.
Yeah.
So I would want probably more than De La Cruz. I'd want De La Cruz and another player who maybe I could flip for a prospect, or De La Cruz and another prospect or something.
Which will probably end the discussion, by the way. Because I guarantee you the holder of De La Cruz is like, you know, that's the only thing I'm going to trade him for. Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's if you have De La Cruz and you can win your dynasty league this year, trading him for Bo Bichette is a pretty good trade.
Oh yeah, like, absolutely. Again, I mean, I would do that if I'm in contention for sure, without a doubt. But at the same time, just saying, there is the holder's bias, and I know there's another word for it, but where you possess this awesome prospect, ranked number one in everybody's prospect rankings, it's hard to pry that from your cold dead hands.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. So there you go. We said this offer's ridiculous, and then we came around to the part where
I would still not do it. But yeah,
I think that's where I'm at too. But if I was in a dynasty and I was out of it and I wanted to trade Bichette, De La Cruz is the type of guy I'd be looking at, but I'd want more.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. I'll change it another way. Would you accept Trey Turner, who's slumping right now, for De La Cruz?
In a dynasty where I'm out of it?
I'm
out of the race.
Same principle applies.
It doesn't really matter that he's slumping. It's more like at 29, do I think Trey Turner is going to have a several more really good years? And I do. I'm going to say same stance as I have on Bichette.
Okay. All right. Because he was even drafted before Bichette, but you know, he is also 3 years from now, might not be, you know?
Yeah. I was going to say, who's worth more in a dynasty right now, Bichette or Turner? I'd say Bichette.
And here's a reminder. Yeah. We have dynasty rankings on RotoWire. You can check out for yourself. RotoWire.com/pod. Yes. Yes. Where we get to the plug part 5 minutes afterwards.
Yeah.
RotoWire.com/pod. Get you a free trial, a free peek behind the paywall. You can take a look at James Anderson's dynasty rankings as well as his updated prospect rankings. Also, James had updated his prospect list last week. And he's doing his podcast will be a mailbag podcast tomorrow. So you guys can check that out. I will promote the hell out of all of that there because James does great work. So happy to promote that. Fred, anything else you wanted to hit before we sign off? We're about at an hour 10 now.
Let's see if there's anything important that I feel like we missed. Liam Hendricks was back.
Yeah.
I feel like we got to at least mention that.
For sure.
Didn't do great, but he,
he got unlucky too. There was like a, you know, it wasn't quite a bloop, but it wasn't a hard hit ball for one of the hits there. A little unlucky ball dropping in front of an outfielder.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not sure if he goes straight into, well, I don't know. They can do whatever. Like White Sox aren't going to make the playoffs. I was going to say, I don't know if he's going to go straight in. I don't think he should go straight into the closer's role. He'll get there.
Yep.
But I don't think he needs to get a save chance this week. I mean, they can't, like I say, they can because
it might not be one.
That's right. And if there is, I just like, that's probably not going to matter in the end for them anyways, but I would actually, just for Hendrick's sake, I don't want him to blow a save this week. Yeah. Right. Like he's back. I don't know. He didn't completely shut down the other team. So anyways, that's a pretty awesome story. Well, I guess what I'm saying is if I have Kendall Graveman, I'm not dropping him yet.
Okay.
I think I'll hold him. Like I would keep him active for another week and just, I have Kendall Graveman in the league and I have him active this week because he might get a save. Like he has like four this month, something like that. So, and Pete Fairbanks is back on the IL in other closer news. Second time. I don't know. I don't know if I like where this is all going. They say it's not that big of a deal, but
he gets hurt every year. It seems like
that, I don't know. Jason Adam. Unfortunately, I dropped Jason Adam in a couple leagues the week before Fairbanks went on the IL.
The first time.
Yeah, I know. I feel terrible about it. And I picked him up for the exact, I drafted him. I was like, this guy's a good reliever on a team that mixes up closers. And, you know, maybe he could even run with the closer job at some point. And then I got a little impatient and
you got squeezed. I mean, that's the problem with holding guys like that is.
Well, I was using him. And then I think I dropped him for Yainer Cano from the Orioles in one of the leagues. So I was just like, this Cano guy is awesome. And
he is.
And Fairbanks was pitching, and I'm like, and Adam's not the closer. So we'll see where all that ends up. But I wish I could have Adam back.
Yeah, for sure.
I just don't like where this is all going with Fairbanks.
No, I get that for sure. And the only thing that's working in his favor is the Jays have signed him long term. So they're going to keep giving him chances whenever he's healthy. But this is whenever he's healthy is the big caveat.
Yeah.
And maybe when he comes back, he doesn't pitch back to back days. He's like a one inning only guy and things like that, things of that nature, which is so not Rays. So we'll see.
Yeah.
All right. That's going to wrap it up for today's pod. As alluded, we got the prospect podcast tomorrow with James Anderson, and it's a mailbag edition. So locking in for that. Mike Gianella joins me on Thursday. Looking forward to conversation with him from Baseball Prospectus. Always have fun conversations with Mike. So thanks guys for tuning in, and Fred and I will be back at you again next Tuesday. Take care.